Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 and 9-month FY23 Shriram Properties Limited conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Murali N., Chairman and Managing Director from Shriram Properties Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Gopal. I would kick off on behalf of the management of Shriram Properties. I would like to extend a very warm welcome to all of you, and thank you for taking time off to join this call. I'm joined by my colleagues here in this room, and I'll make a short presentation, and then we'll collectively try and answer the queries that you may have. I assume all of you have received the presentation, which is either mailed to you or available on the website of the company as well as stock exchanges. So I'm going to refer those presentation slide numbers to walk you through our performance for the Q3 9 months, as well as our expectations of the outlook of the company for the next quarter as well as the next year. Let me begin by drawing your attention to the presentation. Since all of you are more familiar with the real estate sector, I would very briefly cover these slides 4 and 5 by summarizing the fact that the markets have been doing well. The undercurrent is very strong and positive, notwithstanding the rate hike impact, which had some concerns in people's mind about the potential impact on the demand. I think so far the demand situation has been fairly strong and robust, and market sources as well as the lending partners do tell us that the momentum on home loans are also remaining strong as of now, and therefore there is no meaningful or there is no remarkable slowdown in the demand for retail home loans, and that augurs well from a housing demand perspective. The core markets of Shriram Properties, which is Bangalore, Chennai and Kolkata, have seen a very strong demand, launches, and also the positive trend in inventories. Chennai and Kolkata inventories have also reduced, but more notable was in Bangalore, which has the lowest inventory among Tier 1 cities. And that's an encouraging development for us. From a price perspective, I think the average price hike across cities have been fairly meaningful, considering the fact that we have seen price hikes from second half of last fiscal, that's from September, October 22 onwards, we have seen 21 onwards, we have seen price hikes. Till March 22, we had meaningful price hike by all players, and Shriram Properties has registered an average increase of about 7% in our portfolio. On top of that, we have had further increase in current 9 months. So that's an encouraging price trend for us. Affordable mid-market segment is doing very well. We continue to account for 70-80% of overall absorption or demand in the respective market. And that augurs well for us as a focused mid-market affordable housing player. With this remark on the macro, I would like to focus more on Shriram Properties' overall operating dynamics and operating highlights, and then move to financial highlights. Looking at slide 7, a broad overview of how our 9-month operations have shaped up. We have had the highest ever 9-month sale, both in terms of volume and value, during this 9-month FY23. For the quarter also, we have been able to register 1 million plus quarterly run rate has been maintained. But more important, this has been achieved despite a deferred 2 launches that we have had. I'll explain that in detail as we go through. We believe the fourth quarter, therefore, will be much stronger with scheduled launches. All of them are now under control with all the regulatory approvals falling in place. Our DM business has stabilized. The business model has stabilized. It's continuing to contribute both in terms of the operating metrics as well as financial metrics now. From an operating metrics perspective, DM accounted for 22% of 9 months sales and remains encouraging for us. Our collection trends are fairly stable, a bit muted on a year-on-year basis because Q3 collections were a little slower, primarily because the new sales activities were a bit muted because of the deferred launches. Despite that, we clocked overall collections for the 9 months at 890 crores compared to about 900 crores that we had. We believe Q4 will be robust enough to catch up with whatever we have aspired to set for ourselves for FY23. From an exhibition perspective, overall trends have been very strong. We have handed over about 1,200 units so far, and another 400 plotted development units have been handed over. So in all, 1,600 units and plots, as against our target of about 2,000 units for the full year. And that's actually driving strong income recognition for us. We have completed 7 projects, moved from ongoing to the completed portfolio. Out of it, 3 are residential, 4 are plotted development. Adding up to about 3.8 million square feet have been moved from having received OC and other completion certificates. We have moved them from ongoing portfolio to completed portfolio. So the pipeline to that extent got readjusted. However, with the refilling of new projects, our pipeline remains robust, 53 million square feet. 23 million square feet out of that is ongoing. Remaining is yet to be launched. Out of the 23 million square feet of ongoing portfolio, 21 belongs to Shriram, 2 million belongs to landowner share under the JDA agreement. Out of 21 million square feet, we have sold so far, launched to date. Cumulatively, we have sold about 18 plus million square feet. So 85% of our portfolios, ongoing portfolio is sold. As we have consistently reiterated, completed projects don't have a meaningful inventory. So we are near zero inventory on completed. Only 15% inventory is to be sold on ongoing projects that are at different stages of completion. Registration momentum has remained strong. Recently completed projects like Southern Crest in Bangalore and Grand One in Kolkata have been the key contributors to the registrations during the first 9 months. They continue to be the drivers in third quarter as well. I'll explain that in a minute. As I said, BD pipeline has remained strong. I explained most of it and the right-hand side, the bottom chart or part of the chart. Our ASA co-investment platform has taken off well. The first project under the platform got launched in February 23, pre-launch in Jan and formal launch in Feb. It's called Shriram Pristine Estate, and this plot of development has received significantly exciting response for us. In the first weekend of launch, during first weekend of launch in February, we have sold about, we've got 81 expression of interest, 51 have converted into bookings. Nearly about 21 of them already reached 9.9% payment level, all in the last 2 weeks, and the pricing has been far superior than what we thought, what we set out for ourselves before launch. So overall, this has been an encouraging launch for us. We have a few other launches that I have a slide on. I'll explain that. Logos deal is moving meaningfully ahead. Likely closure is either during the remainder of this Q4 or early part of Q1 next year is when we think we will do. It's delayed by maybe a quarter, not more than that, but I think deal is on track. We have interest from other players as well that also I'll explain as we go through. Xander Gateway is completed. The settlement agreements have been signed. Cash flows are expected in February 23. 1.3 billion is the residual cash flow that we need to receive. Income has been recognized in phases over the last couple of years. These cash flows will accrue to us partly this month, more than half of it. The rest will come through in tranches for the next 4 quarters. So fundamentally, the business is doing well across the key tech metrics in both operational and financial metrics. And that's an encouraging progress so far in this fiscal for us. The next slide talks about the same data in a comparison form between 9 months last year and FY22. I think I explained that. I'll instead spend a little more time on Q3 numbers, page 9. Our sales volumes are about 1.04 million square feet, 3% year-on-year growth, and quarter-on-quarter growth. And this is still an encouraging number for us, considering the fact that the two launches that we had planned have got deferred to Q4 because of some approval delays. I think those are now back on track. We've got all the approvals required, and we've actually pre-launched the first project, which is Shriram Pristine Estates, a plot of development in Bangalore, in mid-Jan. Pre-launch activities began. EOI process started. Formal launch happened on February 1st weekend. And I think it is, as I said a few minutes ago, got a tremendously encouraging response for us. The subsequent launches, as you will see in the next slide, are on track. Pre-launch EOI efforts have begun in some of the projects already. They're all scheduled for February and March. So I think we have a robust activity lined up to catch up with whatever we missed in the last one month. But I think we are very confident of realizing the impact of these four launches plus two potential launches in the next 45-60 days. Sales value grew by about 39% quarter on quarter, primarily because of the change in product mix. Last year, this time we had last quarter also we had a very high share of plotted development. The trend was similar, but this time more of apartments, and that's one of the reasons why the sales value moved up. And so that geographical mix will keep changing depending on quarter to quarter. From an average realization perspective, I have another slide that I'll walk you through on. Has been an encouraging trend for us both in this quarter as well as for the first 9 months. I think it is appropriate to discuss that in detail along with the project details in page 13. So overall, the quarter has been reasonably strong from an operational perspective, except the muted sales growth, which we believe will get caught up in Q4. With the launches already on the way. It just moved from mid-December, early to mid-December to mid-January. Because mid-December to mid-January is an inauspicious period in South Southern Park. So people resume these purchases only after Pongal, which is on 14 Jan. So when we slipped on the approvals, in some of the approvals in the first week of December, we decided consciously to postpone them to post-Pongal launches, and that's one of the reasons why we had a muted Q3 launch. The rest of the metrics have been fairly stable. This is exactly what is explained in slide 10. Two projects, 1.2 million square feet, got deferred from early part of December to mid-January to cover the auspicious period and to make the launch cost more effective from a return on investment perspective. Now we have four projects ready for launch. All the approvals are in place. Launches have started in one. Pre-launch efforts have started in others. Shriram Prestige Estate, I told you, North Bangalore, 0.8 million square feet of plotted development. First weekend alone got us 81 UI, 51 bookings, 21 are already in the last 10-12 days. It has reached 9.9% levels. So that's an encouraging start. Shriram Shipping Ridge is a plotted developer in Sarjapur. Pre-launch has begun. Very interesting outcome from an EOI perspective. I will park this for now, and maybe we'll make a media release once the formal launches have happened next week on the outcome. Shriram Solitaire and Shriram Poem, these are the two different apartment complexes, one in North Bangalore, one in West Bangalore. Both are at the pre-launch stage. EOI process has begun. Formal launches are happening on 26th of February. So they're all these four launches are February launches. And we have a couple of more launches lined up, one in Koramangala, one in Chennai, one in Kolkata, subject to approvals and subject to market acceptability. We will move from pre-launch to launch in these projects during the month of March. Slide 11 gives you a glimpse of what I spoke just now, so I'll skip to slide 12. Again, reiterating the actual details of these proposed or ongoing launches. In all, there's a very strong launch volume. Given our track record of realizing sales at launch in the first 90 days of launch, we believe a big part of this can get added during Q4. Progress so far gives us the confidence that we'll end the year with between 4.25 million-4.5 million sq ft of pre-sales volume or the sales volume, with a meaningful growth in not just volume but also in sales value. Apart from product mix, we are also benefiting from the sales price increase. Slide 13 summarizes the price increase part. As you are aware, we started the second half of FY 2022, that is September-October 2021 onwards, is when our focused efforts on price improvements come begin after COVID. I think we have had an encouraging outcome in second half of last fiscal. 8% average increase, 3%-16% project-to-project increase range of increases in different projects. On top of that, from the price levels that was in March 2022, we have now clocked another average realization increase of 7% for the basket portfolio as a whole. Combination of these two gives us about 15% price hike in the last 18 months. That's a meaningful uptick for us, encouraging. Not only improves the margin profile for these projects, ongoing projects, but also helps us in terms of offsetting the impact of a short-term spike in cost that we witnessed in Q1 and some part of Q2. Though they are all behind us, all this will go a long way in protecting and in upgrading our margin profile for ongoing projects. With these, I actually shift to financial performance highlights on slide 15. It has been a fairly strong earnings growth story for us. Sequential quarterly improvements in the nine months of FY 2023. We believe the impact of improving operating leverage, project execution, and the rising share of DM is supporting our financial performance. We believe the momentum will continue in the coming quarters as well, because the on-ground construction activities and sales activities are remaining encouraging, and therefore we should have meaningful momentum continuing in the coming quarters, consistent with what we had expected in the past. We are on track in terms of delivery performance. As I said, 1,600 units and plots have been delivered. 2,000 units is what we have set for ourselves. Nearly on track, and we are kind of confident that the remaining 400 units will get handed over during this quarter. Debt reduction has been a big positive for us. We managed to move down the cost curve, as well as we managed to bring down the overall debt, and that's helping us in the financial performance. I'll try to explain the financial performance, though they are detailed in slide 17 and 18. Let me try and give you some snapshot of where the financials have stood out in Q3 as well as in nine months. Starting with Q3, our revenue from operations have gone up 60%. Primarily on a year-on-year growth is driven primarily by the ongoing registration completion and registration activities in two of the large projects, Southern Crest in Bangalore and Grand One in Kolkata, where we got the OC and the completion certificate called OC here. Those have helped us to move ahead well in the registration front. Simultaneous to that, we also had the continuing momentum in Bangalore project called Summit and Chennai project called Temple Bells. All these are handovers are continuing. In fact, top four projects accounted for 76% of our revenue recognition in Q3. On top of that, we also had two large transactions during this quarter, which one is the ASK platform took off. We moved one project from SPL to The platform, which is a plotted development called Shriram Pristine Estate, which got launched in January, that we spoke a few minutes ago. This transfer of development rights has resulted in fair value, the gain of about 14 odd crores, 15 plus crores to be precise. And there is also a landowner settlement in one of our projects, which is nearing completion. This is Shriram One City in Chennai. And combination of these two have added about 29.7 crores of income to us. These are operational income, but due to accounting standard requirements, we have to classify them as other income. So technically, I would urge people to look at the details of it, and you will appreciate that they are primarily core of our business in terms of acquiring and monetizing the transfer of the development rights. And so that's actually is a point that I want to draw your attention to on Q3. Other than that, if you look at down the P&L, EBITDA margins are fairly strong at 22% compared to 18% in Q2. Absolute EBITDA growth is muted because last year we had a very high EBITDA base because, as you may recall, we had a plotted development called Shriram Santorini, which was a Whitefield plotted development project in our books for a few years as a land, and we monetized that land, and therefore they had a very high EBITDA margin. 10,000 rupees per square feet was the plot, 9,500 to 10,000 rupees was the range of price that we realized in the plotted development. And given the fact that it's a plotted development, the costs are very, it's a land cost primarily, and that was in our books for a few years. And therefore, we had a high EBITDA margin there, 40% EBITDA margin. So, bit of a non-comparable EBITDA margin of last year. But overall, I wish to point out that margin profile is fairly strong and encouraging, both for the Q3 and 9 months. I'll explain the 9 months in a minute. Before that, I just want to highlight the finance cost. Overall, finance cost is lower by about 25% year on year. As you know, our finance cost comprises of two things. Actual interest expense is one. We also have the non-cash charge, which is basically what we call the unwinding impact. To be brief on this, we provide 4% non-compete fee in our balance sheet for the Bengal land, where we are supposed to pay Government of West Bengal a particular liability. That liability is captured in our balance sheet on a discounted basis as a liability. Every quarter as we move, we have to unwind this NPV impact, charge it to the P&L, so that by the time when we come to making the payment to Government of West Bengal, the liability will be in absolute rupee terms will be same as what the potential outflow is, and therefore that NPV unwinding gets charged to interest cost on a quarterly basis. That number is almost 5 crore out of my overall finance cost. That number doesn't change much on a quarter to quarter basis. It will continue for another 2 years or so. Unless we win the litigation court case that we have filed against the Government of West Bengal for the non-compete, until such time we'll keep providing for it. So focusing on the actual interest expense, 42% year-on-year decline to 14.5% reflects the impact of all the refinancing work that we are doing, and I think beginning to show up. We are almost done with the refinancing of the portfolio except for one project which is also likely to be completed in February-March. And that's the refinancing impact is what shows as another finance cost, which means all the unabsorbed or unamortized processing fee of the previous loan gets charged off the moment you shift from one loan to refinance to other loan. And that's a one-off cost that we absorb in our P&L. And so overall, encouraging for us is the interest decline, and interest cost is about 12.5% is the average cost of debt for us, which is despite a 2% increase in RBI-led lending rates. And that basically means on a comparable basis from April to now, or March year-end last year to now, we are down from 14% to about 10.5% without taking into account the RBI rate hike impact. Even if you take the RBI rate hike impact, the decline is more than 200 basis points, which is an encouraging sign for us. PBT is higher by 20% year on year to 26 crore in Q3. and share of JV is negative. Positive contribution from income recognition, ongoing income recognition in Park 63, which is a JV between Shriram Properties and Mitsubishi Corporation, is continuing, but the impact is masked by the renewed campaign that we had for the next phase launch in one or two our joint ventures called Shriram WYT, Shriram Whitefield, and Shriram 107 Southeast. These are the new launches during this quarter, and therefore our share of cost we are picking up as a share of JV. That's why it's negative. Overall net profit is at 22.4 crores, 69% year-on-year growth, and more importantly, 14% higher on a sequential basis compared to Q2 level, which is fairly satisfactory, encouraging for us. On a nine-month basis, spending a few more minutes, the table, last three columns of the table will tell you that our overall revenues have grown up 129%. Revenue from operations has grown 144%. So we stand at the total revenue of 643 crores compared to 281 crores last year, nine months. Our EBITDA is up 59% year-on-year, 137 crores compared to 86 crores last year. Finance cost for the nine months is also lower. It's down 20% year-on-year. Interest expense, as I explained earlier, interest expense is a more relevant metric in our context. That's even some since it also includes non-cash tax. So net interest cost is down 32% to 52.3 crores or 523 million compared to 77.3 or 773 million last year. Non-cash tax, I explained, it's Government of West Bengal royalty-related non-compete fee or royalty payment-related tax, and that will continue for a few more years unless we get the ongoing litigation closed in our favor. Until such time, as a matter of prudence, we'll continue to provide for this. On a nine-month basis, share of income is JV income is positive because Park 63, which is JV between Shriram and Mitsubishi, registration activity is continuing with a strong momentum, and that's actually showing up there. Of course, partly offset by marketing expense and JV refinancing cost that we had in the first half, where we refinanced from LIC or the NBFCs to banks like SBI and IndusInd Bank at 9.5%-10.5% cost, and therefore we decided to refinance them for the long-term gain of these projects. Net profit for the nine-month period is at 52.4 crores or 524 million, my apologies, compared to a negative earnings in nine months last year. More importantly, it is meaningfully higher compared to 18 crores reported net profit for fiscal 2022. Looking at a quick look at our balance sheet and the raised ROCEs, our return on capital employed stands at about 10.5% on a nine-month basis, not annualized. It's a nine-month annualized, and expected Q4 should put us slightly ahead of full-year FY22. So we are in the 10.5%-11% band on an ROCE basis, which puts us meaningfully in the first quartile of listed peer group. And on the debt side, I'll cover that a little more in detail in the next slide. But before that, I wanted to talk about cash flows a little bit in detail. Slide 20 gives you the overview of our cash flows. If you look at the cash flow chart on the right-hand side, it is the company-wide collections. The collections are here talking of the blue bar at the bottom is the Shriram CFS consolidated cash flow. The next bar is that's for nine months, it's 3853, which matches with the column three of your table on the left. 31118 is the 311 crore is the JV share of collections, and the DM collection is about 189 crores. That's how consolidated collections for the nine-month period is about 887 crores that you would have seen in the previous slides. Focusing on the CFS cash flows of Shriram, which is 100% belonging to us, I'm not bringing our share of JV cash flows in this context. I'm just focusing on CFS cash flows. If I look at the overall operating cash flows, cash flow from operation has been positive at about 77 crores, and for the Q3, it's about 18.8 crores. And we drew about 17 crores from the financing activity in a 9-month period. And therefore, so we invested, we spent 17.5 crores from the operating cash flows towards loan repayment as well as interest costs. So free cash flow before new project investments have been in the range of 15-60 crores. And if I look at the new projects, primarily comprises of JD advances given in some of the projects. So we typically give somewhere around 8 to 15 crore kind of outflow is the typical outflow for a JDA project as a JD advance for a $500,000 square foot kind of project. So we signed up a few new projects. Those are JD advances. We also spend money, our share of investment in the co-investment platform in ASK, where we launched this project for Shriram 15 estates. And also we have made some further investments towards acquiring 100% economic interest or equity capital in a project called Sivila Farms in Sivila Gardenia. Which we are now, as you recall from the press release we made, we acquired 100% of, this was a DM project, we acquired 100% equity in the project to make it 100% subsidiary of Shriram. Now they are owned completely by us and they are getting launched. You heard a name called Shriram Poem by Shriram. That's nothing but the renamed version of Palms, which is being relaunched as our own project instead of a DM project. So all these activities took us about 120 odd crores of investment in new projects. Some part of this capital will come back in the next 45 to 90 days because we are putting some of these projects back into the monetization mode in the investment platform or raise capital to unlock or release some part of our investment already. But during the 9 months, we invested 123 crores. That's how we used 64 crores of cash flow from our cash and cash equivalent in hand. We believe the closing balance of 77 crores will rise sharply in Q4 because, as I said in the beginning, we have concluded the DM arrangement and settlements with Xander, the Gateway Office Complex that we are building as a DM project. They're supposed to get a DMC of from Xander funds. They're supposed to get a DMC of about 130 crores, of which 65 crores should come through in FY in Q4. These income have been recognized in phases in the past year or two. The tax flows will accrue now. I think we are getting about 60 or 65 crores now, and their balance will come in tranches over the next 1 year. For quarterly installments. So that will boost our cash and cash equivalent at the quarter end. And we are also expecting to, as I said, monetize or unlock, release capital from some of the new investment that we made last quarter in acquiring Sivila's projects from Sivila's because those projects are now, we have done completely equity funding of this project acquisition now. We'll monetize that so that cash will come back. So we think we'll end this year with a much stronger cash and cash equivalent. Should be in the range of about 150 odd crores of cash and cash equivalent by year end. Moving to slide 21, ongoing debt. And so as I said, our gross debt is about 504 crores, top left chart. Our net debt is about 427 crores. And we gone up slightly compared to previous quarter, about 20 crore higher. But gone up about 60 crore compared to our year end or year beginning of this fiscal. We'll go down that curve in the next quarter. Debt equity is about 0.35, 0.36 to 1. Still remains as one of the lowest in the sector. Cost of debt remains in the 12.5% range. We're working towards stabilizing around 12% at least before year end. Majority of this impact is, of course, debt reduced the high cost debt as well. But more importantly, the cost of debt has come down because we shifted from mostly NBFC-focused loan portfolio to bank-focused loan portfolio through the refinancing that we have completed over the last 9 months. 55% of our loan book is now in banks. The incremental debt we are able to raise now is in the 9 to 10.5% range. With coming from banks like SBI, IndusInd Bank, and RBL who have been the big contributors in the last 9 months to add this loan portfolio, increase the share of banks in the loan portfolio. Our focus remains on reducing the overall debt as well as bringing down the cost of debt. Realistically speaking, with all the RBI rate hike impact, so this 12.5 includes RBI rate hike impact, which means effectively we are down to about 10.5-11% in that sense, but I'm not trying to complicate it right now. So from a 12.5, I think we are still aspiring to go settle around 12 before year end, unless there are very large rate hikes that's coming through from RBI for the next 3 to 6 months. Some of the awards and recognition that we received for our projects are in slide 22. I will quickly summarize what we see as an outlook for 23 and beyond for the next 2-3 slides, and then I'll stop for Q&A because I have only taken 30 minutes of yours. From an outlook perspective, we see a very strong for Q4. As you know, 5 projects account for 76% of projected revenues in 23. All of these projects have come under control in terms of external factors, like we have received OCs in all of these projects. So as we complete customer registrations and handovers, we start recognizing income in these projects. DM remains on track and will continue to be a key contributor to FY23 revenues as well as EBITDA. And moving beyond 23 Q4, which is just 45 days left, looking at a 3-year earnings profile, 23, 24, 25, we believe the visibility is very high. 75% of our aggregate revenues during this period, 23, 24, 25, will come from projects so volumes sold up to September 22 already. And 60% of DM revenues will come from projects launched already. And therefore, we see a meaningful visibility on what we can deliver. And we have been consistently emphasizing since our first analyst call post-listing that we do see a greater visibility on earnings, and we are therefore confident of delivering what we promised. And we see last three quarters supporting our efforts, and we believe it will continue to demonstrate that we are on the right track in delivering long-term value for our shareholders. And we believe as we continue to deliver, stock capital markets will give us a deep credit and valuations will move. And as someone pointed out yesterday in the board, our current EPS for 9 months is about a shade below 3 rupees per share. And therefore, I'm annualizing it to 4 rupees earnings per share compared to a 70 rupees stock price. So on a historical earnings basis, it is trading at a low number. But given the fact that we are currently focused on delivery, demonstrating to the markets that we are on the right track to deliver earnings and returns, and we believe at some stage markets will recognize this consistent delivery. The slide 25 talks about the same message that I talked about on the 3-year earnings. We will deliver 10,000 units. We are targeting to deliver 10,000 units over the 3-year period. Because we sold about 11-12 million square feet in the last 3.5 years, they are coming up for completion and handover, and therefore at least 10 plus million square feet will be handed over to customers involving 10,000 units. That should give us the revenue recognition potential. This year, I think we believe we will complete and hand over about 2.5-2.6 million square feet for the full year, which basically means 3 million square feet at least. Annually over the next 2 years. Even on a 5,000 rupees per square foot earnings selling price, it means 1,500-1,400 crores of revenue recognition, and with an EBITDA margin that we believe is sustainable at mid-20s, I leave the audience to decide what should be a sustainable level of EBITDA in this company. And therefore, what we want to emphasize is the fact that we believe we are on the right path. We believe the current performance is supporting our belief that we are on the right path, and we'll continue to move forward with both all-round growth in terms of volumes as well as financial earnings and returns. Slide 26 summarizes what we expect to do over the next couple of years. We will continue to focus on delivering growth momentum. we'll continue to leverage our operating benefits and on the benefit of, on the back of scale and efficiency improvement. And over the next couple of years, we remain committed to delivering 20% CAGR in sales volume. Margins stabilized around the mid-20s EBITDA and ROC stabilized in the mid-teens. And we'll continue to focus on DM, simultaneously our energies on JVs and JDA. While doing all of this, we'll continue to unlock potential from Kolkata. Some of these are explained more in detail in the slides later, but I will end with slide 27 saying, despite moving 7 projects, 3.8 million square feet from ongoing portfolio to completed portfolio, which is a positive development, and also deferring a couple of projects because they are taking more time than what we envisaged, 2.8 million square feet moved out of the pipeline. Though they are not shelved projects, I think they are not coming through for the next couple of years. Therefore, we said when it comes, we will add them back. Despite all this, we have still managed to have a pipeline which is robust enough with 51 projects to 53 million square feet, out of which 23 million square feet is ongoing, and therefore 30 million square feet upcoming projects for pipeline potential spread well across JVs, JDAs, and DM. Out of 23, as I said at the beginning of the call, I'll end with saying we have no completed inventory. Out of the 23 million ongoing, nearly 85% is sold, and that's a fairly encouraging spot to be in as a mid-market real estate developer. With this, I pause or stop here. Me and my colleagues will be more than happy to address all the queries that you have. Thank you, and over to the host.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Dhananjay Kumar Mishra from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir. Congratulations on very strong sales booking despite deferral of launches. So, what is the likelihood of launches? I mean, how many projects we can launch out of the 7 you have listed in your presentation? So, can we launch at least 4 or 5? Or it will not be spillover in next quarter?
Yeah, I think we are very confident because while it looks like move from one quarter to other quarter, the launches were planned for early part of December, so it was a delay by 3 weeks for us. Of course, the clock moves, so we moved from it looks like a one quarter delay. So out of the 6 projects that are listed on slide 12. Shriram Prestige Estate is launched already on February 3rd or 4th, or the first weekend. And that's what the story, encouraging story that I explained. Prestige Ridge and Poem, EOI has started last weekend. And they've actually got a very good response. In fact, Shipping Ridge has more than 100 EOIs in the first weekend. So I think the launch, pre-launch has already started in these 2 projects. Solitaire and Lifespace. We'll do the pre-launch during second half of February and formal launch by, I think 26th is when we're getting launched, Solitaire and Lifespace. Solitaire is in Bangalore, Trans Lifespace in Chennai. So there are all the formal launches during early part of March. So once we gauge the EOI interest levels, then we'll try to price it. That's the pre-marketing that we do. So I think, 5 of them are already taken off in the sense. 4 are in the pre-launch launch stage and 1 is launched. Koramangala, we got all the approvals in place, so there is no external dependency. It's a very boutique project, 130,000 square feet of project in Koramangala, and therefore it's a high-end by invitation type marketing launch that we are trying to do. and therefore, and I don't, we don't see a big challenge in Koramangala project, which is not yet named, so I called it Koramangala. So we are on track for all the they are listed here. On top of this, we have some buffer in two other launches where there is one external approval dependency pending in West Bengal. Therefore, we have not counted them. So these five new plus one launched already. Six of them are definitely on track. They will all be formally launched by end of this month. Basically, next 2 weeks, they will be on the shelves, on the newspapers.
Okay. So total we will have at least 8-9 for this year, right?
This year we should end with about 9 or 10 launches.
Okay. What is the target for next year in terms of launches? I mean, do you have any target?
Number of launches many, but based on where they are, out of we believe we will be somewhere between 6 or 9 launches at least based on where we stand today. And out of which nearly 4 of them are very high visibility in terms of the timeline. The remaining 2 may is contingent on timing of plan approval plus RERA in each of these cases. So there is some visibility, some dependency on 2 projects, but otherwise 6-7 launches are visible, but I would imagine between 6 and 9 would be the fair number for FY24.
And in terms of phase booking,
just to clarify, the number of more than the number of launches is also size of the project, which also matters for us. Like for example, Prime Life launch is very different from Chipping Ridge launch for us because it's a 1 million square feet apartment complex in Chennai, prime location, and therefore we see that one launch can feed a very large volume. So we are confident of 5.5 million square feet next year because we see the pipeline already in a mature stage to support that kind of. To be prudent, I would say 20%+ growth is definitely achievable in FY24 and 25 based on signed pipeline documents, but the document already signed documents for pipeline projects.
Okay, so 4.5 million sales booking we are expecting this year. FY23 and about 5.5 next year, right?
Yeah, few percentage here and there for this year, but we're ballpark there on 4.5 zone.
Okay. And second question with respect to ASK investment. So what is the arrangement with them going forward? How many projects we are going to do with them? It's 2,000 right only.
Yeah. So it's a ASK platform is a 500 crore co-investment platform, quasi equity in nature, where ASK puts 80% of the capital, Shriram puts 20% of the capital, and ASK gets a coupon on their investment for the first stage of return will be in the form of a coupon to them. Shriram gets a 10% DM on these projects. ASK gets a somewhat similar coupon on the investment that they made. And thereafter, it is all pari passu, proportionate sharing of free cash flow available in the project. And ASK exits at 20% cap, IRR, 20% IRR subject to cash flows available in the project. There are no guaranteed returns beyond the coupon. But and there, even if the coupon cash flows are very strong, they get capped out at a particular level. And thereafter, all the cash flows belong to Shriram. The first project which we have dropped in this platform is called the Shriram Pristine Estate that I said that we launched in January, February beginning, Jan entry launch and February first week launch. And that launch is, that project is 8 lakh square feet plotted development in North Bangalore, and that's already in the platform. We think that the platform, it is using about 100 crores from the platform, 20 crores from Shriram and 80 crores from ASK. It's an acquisition of a plot of development land from someone. It's a stress asset acquired from an NBFC. And we think we have another potential for 3 to 4 projects depending on the size of the project. We're already evaluating one project to be put in the pipeline, in the platform. Depending on the size of the investment, it could be anywhere between 3 projects from now, 3 more projects from what we have done already, to maximum 4 projects. From our perspective, it is like a JDA. We put 20% of the capital, we are getting the remaining capital. Instead of borrowing the remaining money, we are actually getting a quasi equity investment structure. That's the way we see it, because our IRR will go up. As long as the project IRR is more than 20%, we should get our investment should get a much higher IRR.
Okay. So can we assume that this 500 crore platform, we will have 3-4 projects and potential revenue could be about 1500 crore from this platform itself?
Potential, how many crore? Sorry, I missed the last part.
1500 crore sales potential.
Sales potential, yeah. It can be because we will definitely do three to four projects at least. We are already evaluating one which involves 1.8 million square feet. And that alone should give you about 750 crores of sales value. So I think that I'll tend to agree with your member. There's a meaningful potential there to unlock. It's a way of financial structuring in a sense, because these project pipelines are already either being sourced by us or is already in the pipeline with us. So it's kind of capital source for us.
And lastly, sir, on interest funds, so for 9 months we have done 12.5% interest cost. But in this quarter, what is the interest cost? It should be lower than that, I think.
No, in the initial quarter it will be higher. Maybe I can share the details offline, or I'll see my colleagues can fill that number out. We started with 14.2% in March or April 22. And obviously as we go down, there's an RBI impact, so it keeps pulling back. So the combination of both these, I right now don't have, I don't have quarter to quarter that number. But I think it would have descended from 14 point something to 12.5 gradually only. It would not have gone down in a big number in Q1 and Q2.
Okay, sir, that's all from my side. All the best.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have a question from the line of Kanika Kothari from Kothari Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Firstly, I wanted to ask, can you please elaborate on the trends and patterns and the performance of real estate sales in metro cities versus in tier 2 cities?
Yeah. So, as most of you are aware, top 7 cities account for about 80-odd% of real estate demand, organized real estate demand in the country. NCR is one, if I count. Then there are 7 key cities, NCR, Kolkata on the east, Hyderabad, Bangalore, Chennai on the south, Pune and Bombay in the west. You may have seen this from my slides 4 and 5. Our core market, the numbers are very encouraging from a sales volume or the absorption number they quote. There are a lot of IPC reports floating. I picked up a couple of them, Anarock and PropEquity, as more frequently visited members. Basically, the new launches in these core top tier 1 markets have gone up by about 15-16%. Absorptions have been in the 20-25% growth, and therefore naturally the inventories have gone down, both in our core markets of Bangalore, Chennai, Kolkata, as well as other core markets. So overall, market is going very strong. Large suppliers are also there. The number of suppliers, as you know, has come down because of the ongoing consolidation. Therefore, the supply growth is more controlled in my view. And therefore, the trend of declining inventory could continue for some more time. And it's a very, very encouraging inventory levels. If you look at Bangalore, has less than 12 months of inventory. It's probably one of the lowest that we have seen in the recent years. Chennai has 13 months of inventory, Kolkata has about 15 months of inventory, and few markets like Bombay has 14 months, Hyderabad is 16 months, It's like ranging from 10 months to 16 months compared to 36, 38 months that we used to have. So that clearly shows the market is getting balanced. One other interesting factor I must point out when you're talking about the market, I'll come to tier 2 cities later. One other interesting factor is that the mid-markets have always been a stable from participant. Mid-market demand is primarily end-user driven. There is no investment gain here because the ticket size is low. So the end-user demand is more than investment demand. And therefore, mid-market tends to perform much stronger and inventory levels are very, very low in the mid-market across tier 1 markets. The premiums and higher end of the segment is where even in the pre-COVID period, we saw a very high inventory problem. I think that inventory problems have gone down now post-COVID. Even those luxury and premium products have actually moved on very well in the market. So overall, the markets are doing well. That's the point number one. Point number two, the interest rate hike, impact, all of us, especially the capital market participants, had more concerns than the real estate player. But there were concerns and apprehensions about the impact of rising interest rates on the housing. Unlike the Western world where these have a much stronger direct correlation, in our market, if you look at the last 2-3 cycles of real estate and the interest rates, if you just map them, you will realize what I'm talking about. In the previous cycles also, real estate residential has just got into a new cycle, maybe 1.5-2 years is gone. So there is still another 50 years left for the cycle to go. And in the past cycles, the interest rates have been even higher than what it is today. So we don't see that as a big dampener. And this belief is also endorsed by the fact that all the home loan companies, listed and unlisted, they all are reporting very strong, continued strong demand from customers for home loans. That clearly shows that the customer perception and decision-making process have changed. So will it continue forever? No, at some stage it will break off. Where would that point? We don't know. But I would guess, I would probably hazard a guess saying that a double-digit interest rate for customers, maybe there may be a slowdown in their appetite. But as of now, there is no big negative impact that we have seen in front of other places, in our core markets. You had a second part of the question that I forget. Tier 2 cities, yeah. Tier 2 cities, I have a limited knowledge, but some of the Tier 2 cities are emerging, slowly trying to become Tier 1. They're doing very well. But the question here is, several of the listed players have not really focused on these Tier 2 cities because the Tier 1 itself has a immense potential as of now. And I think it will be a few years before we all start exploring newer markets. But Tier 2s are also doing well, especially markets like Ahmedabad, Bhopal, Indore. They seem to be doing extremely well. As an outsider, we're just listening to the feedback from people who know this market better. But based on what we hear, secondary information, I think the markets are doing extremely well. And with all the ongoing infrastructure spending by Government of India, and continued thrust on this PMAY where the budget allocations have gone up. All these are going to be good news for the residential because eventually the money will flow into the common man's hand, purchasing power, and therefore it will come back into their real assets. And real estate being one of them should be a beneficiary across tier 1 and tier 2. But for now, to clarify, Shriram Properties will remain focused on our core markets, which are tier 1 markets of Bangalore, Chennai and Kolkata. We will explore cautiously the other markets, but southern markets. So fundamentally, we are currently focused on Bangalore, Chennai, Kolkata.
Okay, understood. Thank you. And sir, also can you please throw some light on the Kolkata land parcel? I mean, how much we will recognize and by when?
Kolkata, as I said in the past couple of calls, our strategy was very simple and continues to be unchanged. We will develop 10 million square feet by ourselves. We will sell FSI equivalent to 20 million square feet of approval. So roughly about 175-200 acres of land is saleable and rest will be developed by us. Our own development has moved ahead well, so the monetization is already progressing. Grand One handovers have been making good progress, and I think we will complete the Grand One, which is the first project we launched 2.1 million square feet. That will be completed and handed over in about 18 months. In Grand 2, I think we've sold 98% of Phase 1 and Phase 2. 98% of Phase 1 and about 50% of Phase 2. So in all about 1.1 million square feet has been sold out of 2.3 million square feet. So as a launched project, 4.4 million square feet launched and about 3.4 million square feet has been sold. So we are kind of sitting comfortable on those launch activities. As I said, in between the launch topic, we are also waiting for one approval there. We might launch row houses in that site sometime in the next 45 days, subject to approval coming through. This is over and above the launches that I have listed in the PowerPoint presentation. If it comes through, we'll launch it in mid to late part of March. So I treat it as a March or April launch. That would be a third project that will start monetizing, and then some commercial activity that we have, commercial space development we are doing. So that's the other side of 10 million square feet story. On the monetization, I think as you are aware, we have signed up with Logos. Google Leads is nearly almost complete. Documentation is progressing well with them, and we think we should be able to close in the next month or two. So basically, I would probably bet on we were originally targeting second half FY23, might get pushed to first part of FY24, I think, because the buying party needs to get some landholding approvals, ULC clearances, and other few other clearances in ground of West Bengal. So that might, since that being out of our hand, governmental dependency by a foreign company, so I would kind of go cautiously on the timeline. Somewhere around the end of this year, early next year is when fiscal is when we think the logos will settle. We also have got, as you have seen from slide 29, we also have got interest for additional land beyond logos from another large, credible global player. I would stay away from quoting the name right now. But it's a very large, one of the largest names in the global space. I have also shown interest in the same land parcel, in the land parcel that we own in Calcutta. So between logos and the second large global player, second player, I think we would monetize a large part of saleable area. But we'll keep our fingers crossed till we sign a term sheet with the second player. So monetization is progressing well, is the limited point I'm making. We believe from a timeline perspective, our own development will be completed in about 3 to 4 years. We will be out of that site, 10 million square feet. From a monetization, depending on the modus of modern monetization, can be anywhere between 24 to 36 months before we complete this Shriram Grand City as a project. So 4 years from today is when I think we see entire 300 acres of land getting completely monetized, both by ourselves as well as FSSA.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. We have a next question from the line of Ashay Jain from Jain Capital. Please go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Hi. Good afternoon. I have a question. What was the impact of repo rate hike on our sales, considering that we cater mostly to the affordable segment?
Yeah, good afternoon, Ashay. So just one correction, we do sell both affordable and mid-market. They together add about 85% of our portfolio. And affordable alone must be about 35% of our overall volume, remaining 15% must be coming from mid-market. So that's the kind of breakup. You are right in expectation that both because our 85%, 90% of our customers are salaried class. 85% of our customers take home loans and they are all end-use customers. Therefore, it does have some impact. As of now, it has not dented any demand as we see. It may have, if the interest rates keep moving up, it may have an impact. At the 850 home loan, it has not really had a meaningful impact, not just for us. What I hear from credible large home loan companies, HDFC, ICICI, and all of them, you all cover them more closely than I do. What we hear from them is that they have not seen a slowdown in home loan momentum. So it clearly says that customers are fairly comfortable with the current level of rates. So it's moved up about the same. It used to be SBI lending rate used to be about 6.7, 6.8. Now it's like 8.25, 8.3. So there is a meaningful corresponding increase with the repo rate. But fortunately, it has not had a meaningful dent on it. From our own sales perspective, we haven't really seen either a big impact in footfall or even a conversion. Conversions have actually been faster than pre-COVID, which we have been consistently mentioning to you all, the capital market participants, for the last 3-4 quarters. Surprisingly, big conversions happening, faster conversions happening compared to pre-COVID levels. That has not slowed down. So I assume, therefore, the impact is very marginal.
Understood. That's helpful. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. I would now like to hand over the call to management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. On behalf of all of us in this room, Murli, Ramesh, Gopal, and my other colleagues, wish to thank every one of you for your time and energy taken to listen to our story. I hope you've been able to answer your queries, and we are always available, phone call away or email away for any further queries that you may have. Also, like to thank SGA for hosting this. Thank you, Rahul and Shashi, for coordinating the whole thing, coordinating this call. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Shriram Properties Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.